Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm the pastor of Release City Church, and this is our podcast. I'm super excited that you tuned in, and I really hope today's message encourages you, gives you a sense of hope, and inspires you to pursue all that God has created you to be. Now, let's jump right into today's message.
Before I get started this morning, I want to recognize some friends that are here in the house to support me. Not quite sure how word got out. Maybe I slipped up myself and may have mentioned the fact that I was speaking today, but with us, my family and my friends, we have Mr. Charlie Kennedy, one of our county commissioners. If you'll give it up for him really quickly. And then two of my favorite ladies from the sheriff's office, our human resource director, Ms. Paula Kennedy, which is Mr. Charlie's wife. And our sheriff's executive assistant, who reminds me so much of the original first lady of this house, in Miss Robin Weber, and that's Miss Angie Kite. She's here this morning. So thank you guys. And I told them during fellowship time, I'm like, man, usually I come up here with a really good story about something stupid that I did at the sheriff's office or some criminal that I chased through the woods and tried to tase and blah, blah, blah. But today, Lord, the Lord was just like, just get up there and get it, Adam. No stories, no time for jokes. So I did slip in a little something, and I've caught some flack in some comments this morning, but I did wear one of my favorite crew's shirts this morning that fittingly matches the title of today's message, Dream Chasing. Dream Chasing, because if you didn't take a cruise this summer, you're probably dreaming of taking a cruise this summer. I got to go on my first cruise, as you guys heard last Sunday. Was not without excitement and an idiot move that I made, and it almost got me in the brig on the ship. If you missed it, I'm sorry. You missed it. I'm not going back there again. I don't have permission this morning, so just catch me later, and I'll catch you up. But I do believe that today is going to inspire you. I don't know if you were here the last time that I spoke, but it was a tough one. It was a hard one on me. It was probably a hard one on you guys. So I was extremely delighted when I asked the Lord what I was going to speak on today, when Bradley asked me to speak today, and he gave it to me. And in the moment, it overwhelmed me a little bit, because it's always what you've walked through or what you're walking through. I believe that we minister the most in areas of weakness or in areas that we're walking through as individuals. So you're going to get to hear a lot about my story today. And if you don't know me well, or if the enemy tries to get you to take me in an arrogant way or take me from a place of pride or of arrogance, you're mistaken. I'm going to point out some things that I did wrong, and I'm going to point out some things that me and my family have done right. So I don't want the enemy's always trying. I told the prayer team and our leaders this morning really quickly that the enemy's always trying to find a foothold. He's always trying to find a foothold. So don't allow the enemy to distract you this morning. And if you're a note taker, I encourage that greatly this morning. But I want to pray really quickly before we jump into God's word. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for your favor and your grace and your mercy. Lord, I thank you for the word that's to come forth this morning, Lord, that I know is straight from your throne room to this house, Lord. And I just pray that you would overwhelm my words, Father, that they wouldn't be me, but they would be straight from you, God, the same way that you gave it to me, with the same confidence, Lord, with the same boldness, Father, that you spoke it to me and that you gave it to me, Lord, that brought me to tears and several moments as I typed it out and as I thought about it and processed the stories that would be told. Lord, bring that back to this moment right here. And I know that your spirit is here with us, God. So you take over the rest of this service, Lord, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. And God's people said,
amen,
amen, amen. We're going to be in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. That's kind of going to be our anchor today for you note takers. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, H-A-B-A-K-K-U-K. A mouthful. I said it a lot at the house, so I wouldn't like kick that when I got up here, okay? So I got it. A back kick. Verse 1, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still, the vision awaits its appointed time. it hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. One thing I want to promise you this morning before I go any further is God's timing will be right. God's timing will be right, and you can trust it this morning. And for those of you that are following along with me that said, hey, that ain't quite what I'm reading. I'm in the ESV. I made a recent change from the NIV to the ESV, and I'm liking it. So I'm reading out of the ESV this morning. If yours speaks a little differently to you, that's where I'm at. So I'm speaking to you today about chasing your dream, chasing God's dream. What do you see? What do you see when I say that? When I say your vision, God's vision for you, what do you see? Take a moment and think about that for just a second. See, the Bible mentions several times vision. Sometimes they were open visions that were told. Sometimes they were closed visions that were told. And sometimes they were people who God carried in a vision, even some into the what they call the third heaven. But the vision that this text is going to give us this morning is a blueprint that affects us all. It affects us all. See, vision is the ability to see a day you have yet to enter into. Vision is what you focus on. I want to go back really quick to verse 1. He said, I will watch to see what he will say. Not just hear what he will say, but see what he will say. See what he will say, to see what God is saying. In other words, you're going to see what he is saying. It's a picture. It's a picture. How many of us like pictures? You like pictures? Pictures say a lot, right? When we think about a vision, I think pictorially, and I see an image. I see myself doing what God's called me to do. I see myself. I see a picture. It's a mental image. I'm going to wait for God for his vision in my life. And I'm going to see myself doing what he says. And I'm going to believe that I can do what he says. I will wait to see what he will say, not just hear what he will say. You got to see it. You got to see what you're doing. It is possible to have God say something to you, but you don't see it. You got to see it. See, you can read all you want that God wants to bless you, that you are the righteousness of God. I think of Jeremiah 29:11. You can read that scripture verse all day long. But if you don't see it, it can be spoken over your life, your whole life, and it won't affect you. It won't affect you. You got to see it. I'll say this. When Sarah and I got together, and I usually come up and do tithes and offerings, and that's because I've walked in it. I've walked in it. Before Sarah and I got together, I've been a faithful tither. And when we got together, one of the talks that we had in the many was, regardless of where God takes us, regardless of how poor or sick we become, I'm going to tithe because my salvation alone is enough. God has done enough for me that I'm going to tithe. Yes. Now, with that being said, the power of a made-up mind is an extremely powerful thing. Yes. But if along the walk from 2011, if I had not seen some of God's promises manifest in my life as it pertains to Malachi chapter 3, where God promises that you'll live under an open heaven and he promises that he'll meet all of your needs, do you think it would be a little bit hard to tithe in 2025? Yeah. Absolutely. So that's what I'm talking about when we have to see ourselves walking in that truth and that vision that God has given us. If not, it won't work for us. So I tell you again, Habakkuk 2:1, I have to see what God will say. You have to get a picture. You have to see yourself out of addiction. You have to see yourself out of fear, out of torment, out of worry, out of the defeated life, out of suffering. You have to see yourself in a happy marriage. Yes. You can't just talk about it. You got to envision it. Yes. You got to envision it when you're coming home to hell every day. You got to be able to see that happy marriage, see vacation trips, see getting along, see those deep talks in the bedroom. You got to see that stuff with your eyes and envision it. You have to see your spouse and your family and your children saved by faith in Jesus Christ. You can't just look at what they're doing. If they're living outside of the will of God, you can't just look and say, well, they're drinking, they're hanging out at the bar every Friday and Saturday night. They might slip into church on Sunday morning on Easter. In special events, maybe a Christmas show or whatever. When you begin to see it, you don't let all the distractions around you affect you because a vision is what you focus on. When God gives you that vision, you focus on it and you chase it hard. I'm focused on this so all these things cannot pull me in the direction that I don't want to go. That's why we focus on the vision. when you get that picture, the way we see ourselves has a lot to do with where we end up in life. You have to see what he says about you. I'm not going to be holy when I get to heaven. He said right here, right now, if my faith is that the blood of Jesus and that the body of Jesus Christ and the cross, if that's where my faith is, I'm as holy as I'm going to get right now. Because it's not anything that we do. It's not any action that qualifies us. It's our faith that God says qualifies you. It has nothing to do with what we bring to the table. It has nothing to do with any action. My faith in Jesus Christ says I am the righteousness of God right now. And if I'm the righteousness of God, which the Bible says, I have to see myself like that so I can come boldly into the throne of grace. I don't know how many of you sometimes feel like when I go into prayer, I'm not even worthy to be here. Does the devil ever say that to you? If we're talking about deserving and we're talking about worthy, I'm not standing on this platform in front of you right now because I'm not worthy and I'm not deserving. I got skeletons in the closet that I've asked for forgiveness for, just like every single one of us sitting here. So it's not about deserving and being worthy, okay? We're worthy and deserving through him. That's it. If you believe in your heart that you're a failure, if you believe in your heart that you can't succeed, if you believe in your heart that everyone else is better than you, if you believe in your heart that you don't deserve what others can obtain through the cross, that you don't deserve what others can obtain, You see some of the blessings that other people get. You ever have that thought? Why not me, God? Why not me? I'm one of your children too. That's what the enemy wants us to believe in our heart, is that God is a respecter of persons, or that person's more holy than you are. So therefore, you don't deserve it. You can't walk in that level of blessing. You got to be able to see yourself walking in what God says about you. You're more than a conqueror. You're an heir of God. You got to remember Jesus' words that says, when I leave you, I'm going to send you a spirit and you're going to do more than what you saw me do here. Do you believe it, church? Do you believe that we can do more than what Jesus Christ did? Because that's what he told his disciples when he left. You're going to do more miracles than I did. There's three obstacles that compete with our vision that I found. And I'm going to give them to you this morning. There's three of them for you note takers. He said, first of all, I want you to understand that the vision that God gives you will have an obstacle of present circumstances. That's number one. The obstacles of present circumstances. Does anybody's present circumstances not line up with what God's telling you? Yeah, I see some heads nodding. And that is why he said in the next part of the verse, in verse 2, write the vision. For when you see what I say, I want you to write it down. I don't know about you, but I take myself back to high school and back to college. Repetition is the mother of learning. So when you hear something and you write it down, it continues to circulate in your brain. How many of you learn by vision? Learn by what you see? Vision learners. How many of you learn by what you hear? Audible learners. Audible. We all learn differently, but God said, I want you to write the vision down so that you can see it. Why? Because I want it logged into your mind that what I see is over anything that present circumstances say. I want you to hang on to it. I want you to pull it out of the drawer and look at it again and remind yourself. I want you to write it down on your makeup mirror. I want you to put it on a sticky note. Don't cover up any important gauges, but put it somewhere in your car so that every time you sit down, you see the vision that I have for you. Amen. Because if not, going back to the enemy looking for a foothold, he's going to jump in there and he's going to tell you that you're not worthy. He's going to tell you that that vision will never come to pass. That's what the enemy wants you to believe. He wants you to look at your circumstances. See, God says, I told you that that family member would be saved. I told you that that baby would be born. I told you that that business would be blessed. I told you that I would watch over you when you go to the military, Nathan. I told you that I would help you. I told you in that service. I said it. You saw it. Write it down. Amen. That's what God says. Because there will come days. There will come a day, if it's not tomorrow, where you'll have the opportunity to lose your vision. You'll not lose it, but you'll forget it, or it'll get muddy because we'll start looking at our circumstances around us. And you're just looking at what the present circumstances hold, and you're not remembering, you're not seeing what God spoke and what God said, that it will come to pass. So many people have given up on their vision because of present circumstances. They let the present talk them out of it. When God tells me something, I don't want the present circumstances to talk me out of it. I don't want that to happen. Hallelujah. Is anybody getting anything out of this so far? This is how you maintain joy, because we do not live by what we see. You live by what God said. You live by your faith. And I just believe that when it's all said and done, God is going to take it a lot like this and a lot like that. Yeah? In our lives? We're walking this thing out. Is anybody like this right now? Anybody like that right now? Going crazy? But in His timing, finally in His timing, when we reach that place, I believe it's going to be like this. Maybe not in all areas, because there's always more. There's always more that God's trying to get you to grow to. There's always more that God's trying to get you to reach for. So it's got to be like this sometimes, and it's got to be like that sometimes. But I believe that when we reach a certain place, it's going to be like this. Yeah. See, my Bible reads in Psalm 84:11, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly." Y'all hear that, church? That's praiseworthy right there. No good thing does He withhold. So there's nothing that you can go through. There's nothing. There's nothing that'll happen to you, for one, that is not without God's permission. Think of the story of Job. He says, you can do all this stuff, but you can't kill him. You can do all this stuff to Job, but you can't kill him. So nothing, that tells me that nothing that happens to us is without God's permission. So when I think of all these hard times, I think of no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. So there's a purpose and a reason for the season. Man, I came up with that on my own. That was pretty good. So if God has withheld it, it wasn't good or it wasn't time yet. That's it. If God withheld something from you that's hurt you, it wasn't good or it just hasn't come to pass yet. That's the two options. That's it. And for me, when I hear Him say it, I wait to see what He will say. And when I know that He has told me. See, John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear My voice, and they know My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." And they follow Me. So if it hasn't happened yet, it wasn't good or it wasn't His timing. See, then I get it settled. And I've already referred to the power of a made-up mind. That's when I get it settled. So you can give up on it. You can go on and act crazy, create whatever hell in your life, let it break, let it almost destroy you. But present circumstances do not change the promises of God. So when the enemy starts beating you up about all your sin, about all your stupid decisions, you kick him in the teeth and say that right there. Everything that I've created in my life and all the poor decisions and all the mean things I've said, all the drugs that I've done, the alcohol that I've drank, the adulterous sin that I've committed, nothing changes the promises of God. If you believe that, give Him praise in the house for just a minute this morning, because He's worthy. He's worthy of it this morning. The second thing is, number two, the obstacles of present resources. The obstacles of present resources. This is a big one, y'all. This is a big one. In the current financial climate that we live in. You never have now. Follow me. You never have now what you need to get the vision done. You never have it. Because present resources do not match where God has taken you. Your present resources will not match where God is taking you. Amen. Some of you say, man, I'd like to start this business, or I'd like to go and give this career field a try, but money is an issue. Anybody? I see some heads. It's provision, which means you get the vision and then the pro comes. Provision. But if you're sitting around and you're waiting on the lottery, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. It's vision that attracts resources. It wasn't until I had this vision that God had given me, right? An earthly vision. We're going to talk about earthly and heavenly visions here in just a little bit. But it was an earthly vision that God had given me and Sarah about building our house and doing owner-builder. Well, to most people, that's absolutely nuts, because Adam Hires has never built anything in his whole life other than more than a dog pen, maybe, with my dad when I was little. How are you going to build a house? And when I say a house, I'm not talking about, and I'm not knocking this, this is the part that I'm talking about arrogance. Don't let the devil get in your head about this, but we had been blessed with some family land that Dad had given to us. We didn't have the luxury of building a starter home, right? Making some mistakes on it, and then later building our forever home because we were building on generational family land. So the vision that God had given me was to go ahead and build the house that we wanted. So there wasn't a, hey, rip up all your landscaping and let's add on and let's try to match paint and, oh, your shingles are faded, so let's just redo all the shingles. We didn't want to go that route. So God said, no, build what you want right now, the full thing, 3,500 square foot, build it. How? So I shared my vision with somebody named Scott Duncan, who God sent to this church and sent in my life, whose boss just happened to tear all the ligaments in his shoulder helping a Lowe's or a Home Depot worker get a sheet of plywood down. You think all that stuff happens by coincidence? You think all that stuff happens? Because I really didn't want to pay both of them. I just wanted it to be me and Scott. I just wanted to literally do owner-builder. I wanted to build my own house. So that stuff happens. Coincidence? Maybe you say so. I say it's God. Not wishing injury upon that man, but I'm just saying stuff happens in your favor when you trust God and when you seek the vision and when you follow His steps. Stuff happens that blesses you. So now Scott was available for the next 2 years. 2 years. It was complicated. The healing process was complicated. He didn't end up ever going back to work for that gentleman. He's doing his own thing now, and that was the start of that blessing for him. Amen. Wow. Won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. Won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will. When we talk about God, we're talking about someone whose streets are paved with gold. Someone who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I've referenced, and I'm not up here for this, but just here you go. I'm challenging you right now. If you don't tithe, and when I say tithe, I'm talking about 10%. I'm not talking about the change in your wallet. I'm talking about trust God with 90%. Trust God that if you'll give Him 10, that He will bless your 90. Just try it. That's all. I'm gone. I didn't get paid for that, by the way. See, there's this Bible verse, Psalm 42:7. Bryson used to listen to a song, Deep Cries Out. Who is that? That little youth group.
Bethel.
It's Bethel Youth. And Jenna and JC love it too. It says, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. What that means in this context to me is that when deep relates to deep. I've heard preachers and people that I follow share this crazy vision that they have. I'm going back referencing my house a little bit. I share this crazy vision of building a 3,500 square foot house when all I got on my resume is a 12 by 12 dog pen to Scott. But look at the vision, y'all, out there by Beef O'Brady's. Yep. I believe that everything that we need is in this house. Your talents and your gifts and some electrical workers in here and some roofers in here and some people that have connections to metal are in here. People that can fill out permits are in here. And if they're not in here, God's going to bring them in here because deep calls to deep. So dream big. Hallelujah. Dream big, y'all. Dream big. Because in Ephesians 3:20, my Bible says, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. So you think about your vision or you think about your dream. You can't make it more perfect than He can. You can't think it, fathom it better than God can. The last one is this, number 3. This is it right here. The obstacle of present self. The obstacle of present self. You see, you feel. Have you ever noticed when God gives you a vision, you feel like sometimes the biggest obstacle is your own self? Or I got another one from you, and this is one of my favorites because this is what I try to do sometimes. See, sometimes the devil isn't wrecking your own stuff like yourself. That was for me. I wasn't stepping on no toes. That was for me. I like to put it on the devil. But sometimes it's this flesh right here. Sometimes it's this pride right here that I got to push down. And it's this arrogance right here that I got to push down that's getting in my way. It's not always. It is the enemy sometimes. But sometimes it's us. Our flesh is a thing. When you see what God says, there will always be somebody that is bigger who could do it better than you can right now. Anybody deal with that? You see somebody, man, I can't do it like that. I don't have the muscles like he's got. I ain't got the paycheck that he's got. I wasn't as smart as him in school. You ever do that? You ever fall into comparison? The vision that God gives you will be beyond you, and it'll be bigger than you're capable of. And so if you aren't careful, your present self will talk you out of your future self. It'll be bigger. It'll be beyond. It'll be intimidating. But your present self is not your future self.
That's right.
And if you're not careful, your present self will talk you out of your future self. When God releases vision to someone, by the time they actually get to it, you're not the same person that you were. Anybody walk through those seasons before? You get to a place. Sometimes I walk in that house, and I ain't the same guy. I got tools that I didn't have. I got knowledge that I didn't have. Right? I taught myself a lot. God taught me a lot. Never run a single electrical wire in my whole life. I wired my whole house. It ain't burnt to the ground yet. Even passed inspection, Mr. Charlie. Let me show you. Let's hit the Bible for just a few minutes. When the vision came to Abram, his name was Abram. God gave him the vision. By the time the vision manifested, God had changed his name to Abraham, which means the father of many. So he started out as his present self, Abram. But God said, I'm going to make you into the man that can handle everything that I want to do in your life. Anybody receiving this? Anybody know where I'm going? I got chills right now, and it ain't because of these fans blowing on me. It's because the Spirit of the Lord is here. Some of you have heard my testimony, and I've went into Miss Angie's office because she's a woman of faith, and I've shared with her some of this silly medical stuff that I've been walking through this whole entire year. 34 years old. Not supposed to be dealing with some of this stuff. It's angered me, and it's frustrating me. But I want to ask you this question. What if the pressure that God is applying in your life right now doesn't have to be health, it can be financially, it can be mentally, it can be physically, any the pressure, you got it in your head, so I can see you shaking, your head's shaking. What if that pressure is turning you from Abram to Abraham and it's preparing you for your vision? That if God gave it to you right now, you couldn't handle it. And you would wreck it if he gave it to you. But through pressure, through frustration, has caused me to get down on my knees and pray. Has caused me to get into my word more than I have been. The pressure, the frustration of some of this medical stuff that I've walked through. Countless doctor's appointments. Y'all know my blood type's IB positive. IB positive, they ain't touching me with no needle. And they've been poking me like a pincushion. Some of y'all know me. No, I don't do needles. But my spirit man recognizes that God's making me uncomfortable to force me to do things, because those of you that do know me well also know that I'm a creature of habit. And I like to cruise like this. I don't like this, and I don't like this. But when God allows things to happen in our life that pushes our faith forward, that's when we reach the vision. Because now my present man, looking back 6, 8, 9, 10 months ago, I'm no longer the same guy that I was. And stuff doesn't bother me now like it did 6, 8, 9, 10 months ago. So think about that in that way. Pressure makes diamonds. Got some muscles in here. Pressure builds muscles. Pressure builds your faith. Discomfort builds your faith. Frustration builds your faith. Pain builds your faith. And pressure also shows us that we can handle more than what we think we can. And it also makes us take our eyes off of everything going on around us, and it makes us put our eyes on the one. On the one who can change it all like that. So it's not a frustrating, God, why are you allowing me to go through this? It's, hey, God, who are you trying to make me become? What am I to learn out of this to get through this valley? See, when the word and the vision comes to Jacob, he sees God's blessing on his life. His name was Jacob, and I'm sorry if your name's Jacob, but it means liar, swindler, and cheat. I'll pull a Pastor B real quick. It literally means worm if you look it up. I wasn't going to say that, but it does. I love you, Jacob. Where are you at? No, Jacob? Sorry. Whew. Moving on. But that was his present self. His future self, by the time he's standing in the vision, his name is Israel, which means a prince with God who has power with God and favor with men. He went from worm to prince through the process. That was one of my messages a long time ago. The process. We don't like the process. The process takes time, and we want it now. The process is painful, and it's not comfortable, but we want it now. But God doesn't work that way, and he ain't getting in a hurry for you because his timing is perfect. So if you want the vision of what God has for you, change your perspective about the valley that you're walking through. Change your perspective about the pressure that you feel. Through these last 6 months, I've had to change my perspective of anger and frustration towards God, of why is this happening to me now? I had an assignment at the end of last year that was extremely difficult, and I thought after I completed that assignment that things were going to stop doing this. I think it got worse. But I used it as assurance. Anybody can go with the current. Anybody can get on the Suwannee River, jump in a tube or a kayak, and you can go with the current. That's why the word says, wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to eternity. When you turn that bad boy around and you start paddling upriver, that's when you meet all the debris in the water. So use it as assurance that you're going in the right direction. The vision that God has given you, or that he will give you, will be big and intimidating. Your present self is not capable of handling it. Do not let your present self kill your future self. That's what I wanted you to get out of number 3. Do not let your present self kill your future self. If you're in rehab or addicted or struggling, that's your present self. But you have a future self, and your future self is going to get it together by the power of the cross, through the testimony of Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit that he sent you in Jesus' name. I'm speaking it over you right now, whether you like it or you don't, that your present self is going to get through all of this crap that you're dealing with right now. Yes, oh, crap. I wasn't going to say that word. I told myself this morning as this crossed through my head, I'm like, I'm not going to say crap. I'm going to say stuff. Sorry, y'all. You're going to get through it. I want you to look to somebody. You have a future self. Look to your neighbor. Tell them you have a future self. You have a future self if you believe it. You have a future self. You got a cell phone too. It's all good. So don't let your present circumstances, your present resources, and your present self, don't let it stop you from pursuing the vision. That is bigger than your circumstances, bigger than your resources and bigger than your present self. If you want bigger, say, I want bigger.
I want bigger.
And you can't let your present self, your present resources, and your present circumstances stop you from wanting bigger. You just said it. You're on the hook for it now. You don't have the right to remain silent in here. God said, I will make you a disciple. I will take you through valleys, and you'll pick up a stick that'll part the Red Sea. He said, I might let you go into a fiery furnace, but when the fourth man is in there with you, you won't even come out and smell like smoke. I might let you even fall into the lion's den, and throughout the night, you might feel that lion breathing on the back of your neck, but I won't let him touch you. Who am I talking to in here this morning? I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Thank you, Grant Cawthorn. See, that's why if you're a weak Christian, you can't give up. You can't give up if you're a struggling Christian. You can't give up if you're a backslidden Christian. Because his promises are still true. All you got to stand up. All you have to do is stand up and not quit. That's all you have to do. I'm telling your future self is coming. That's what I'm here telling you this morning. Your future self is coming. You're going to look back in December when we get close to the Christmas holidays. You're going to look back to summer where Adam Hires was wearing a cruise shirt. And he said, your future self is coming. And you're going to tell yourself, I'm not the same person that I was in July. I'm not the same person. I'm looking at my pressures differently. I'm looking at my struggles differently. I'm looking at my weaknesses and my shortcomings differently. Because God's got me in this season right now to push me forward to become my future self so that he can bring the vision about in my life. Amen. See, one day the trumpet's going to sound. One day the trumpet's going to sound. And you're not going to feel pressure anymore. But in the meantime, we got to keep on walking in the direction of our vision. You can't stay still. One of my most favorite things that Dennis Weber used to ever say is there's no such thing as standing still. You're either moving towards God or you're backsliding. Adam Hires, who cruises like this, sometimes I just want to be like, let me just get over here and just sit tight for a minute, and then I'll jump back in later. But what we don't realize is when we get ready to jump back in, we've went all the way back here, and now I got to work again to get back to where I was at. This is amazing. Y'all watch this. Write this down, note takers, and I'll slow down for a minute. Genesis 13. We're going to be verses 14 through 15. It says, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. I'm telling you guys, you have to see what God says. Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. See, some of you have settled where you are. You've settled. You've jumped and you've settled. You've lost vision. You're not dreaming of anything. You're not seeing anything. You're just existing. That's a cold, hard truth. Sometimes running that race, like Paul said, is hard. And we jump out and we just want to settle. But the Lord said to him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land that which you see I will give to you and to your descendants forever. Forever. As the Sandlot said. So don't get so focused on your circumstances, your resources, and your present self that you lose focus. Lift up your eyes and all that you can see. If you can see it, God can give it to you. He told him, look to the north, look to the south, look to the east, look to the west. All of which you see, I'm going to give it to you and it'll be yours. The God that I read about is no respecter of persons, so that tells me that I can obtain the same things that he gave to Abraham. Amen. The same thing. Why not me? Why not you? Why not us? If we'll get hungry and we'll go after God and we'll go after His vision and we'll lay down some of the crap that distracts us and that takes us away from our time with Him and in His Word, if we'll lay that crap down, and I'm preaching to myself right now because there's distractions and there's things that Adam likes to do that keeps me out of His presence and keeps me out of His Word. The same thing that He promised to Abraham, if I'll open my eyes and see what God has for me, we can get there. We can get there. Look at verse 17. This is unbelievable. Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I'll give it to you. That's what he says. That's a promise of God, y'all. A promise of God, from God, for us. Notice that all of the land that he had given to Abraham, it's like God said, in every direction that you can see, that you can walk. If you can see it, I'll let you walk it. And it'll be all around you in every direction. But the day you stop walking and the day you stop seeing it is the day you'll build boundaries around God and what He's able to do in your life. The day you stop walking and the day you stop seeing is the day you'll build boundaries around what God has for you. And you'll stand still. Or better yet, you will slide backwards. That's just the truth. I'm going to flip it on you a little bit. If your dream and your vision is all about you, it doesn't matter where you start. Man, I want to scream this right here to our youth, to all of you guys. See, the truth is I never really saw myself as a dreamer. I worked on a farm. I just worked hard, y'all. My dad always said, don't be scared of work. So I just got out there and I worked. My arm, when they did try to stick me with a needle, was like horse hide when they tried to stick through it. And I was in high school. I just worked hard. But the more I walk with God and the more I walk towards my vision, the hungrier that I become for Him, to spend time with Him. Because anything, like I told you guys earlier, that I can believe Him for, He can do it. Do you have radical faith like that? To believe that if you say to this mountain, move, that it'll move. I believe that stuff, y'all. I believe that stuff. And to speak to the current stuff that I'm going through, He can heal it like that. Amen. I've been on antibiotics for 6 weeks. He can heal it like that. Amen. But you wouldn't be getting this if He hadn't allowed me to walk through what I've walked through. Amen. It's all for a purpose. I told you the vision's not just for you, it's for all of us, is what I said earlier. He just brought that back to me right then. It's not in my notes. Amen. The vision that He's given to you, Release City Church family, the vision that He's given to you will affect all of us. Who are you going to become and what role are you going to play in the new building when it gets here? Dream bigger, think larger, and don't limit God. Don't limit God. I'm not going to go read this, but this is in Genesis 37. I'll give you guys some homework. Y'all can go read this. It's Genesis 37. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. It was one of the favorite stories the youth heard while we were up at the Forward Conference. But you've heard about the story of Joseph, right? And God gave Joseph two dreams, but you'll generally only hear about one, right? But He gave Joseph two dreams. This is the most important thing to understand. The first dream was an earthly dream. He saw a field, and in the field, the harvest was bent over, and it was bowing to him. That was the earthly dream. I lost my spot. So that was the earthly dream. God can and will give you dominion and authority over the earth. He will. He will. But catch this. But that's not the total dream that He gave to Joseph. The second part of it was a heavenly dream. So he had an earthly dream. He saw the field. He saw the harvest. It was bowing down to him. Well, then God gave him the heavenly dream. And that was the moon and the stars were then bowing to him. See, God, when He gives a dream to somebody, it has effects on earth. It will bless you. It'll bless your children. It'll bless your children's children. It'll bless earthly matters. But if all you do is get the house, is get the car, is get the career that you want, if you got all these things, all you have is half the dream. That's all. You got half the dream. You got the earthly part. It's not until the dream is attached to the heavenly dream. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are y'all picking this up? See, God will bless you if you seek Him first. Amen. My favorite scripture in the Bible, Matthew 6:33. If you'll seek Him first, our Father in heaven knows what you need. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Stop chasing all of that stuff. We weren't chasing a house. We were living God's dream back then. We were reading God's word. We were focused on Him. Seek ye first the kingdom. Last part in closing. 56. Y'all, look at that. You're welcome, Paul. I bailed you out. He said, once you see what He says, write the vision, make it plain. Once you see it, run with the vision. Run with the vision, Jared Pierce. See, that's burning on the inside. I want to give you one last biblical example, and I'm not going to read it. This is your homework. 1 Kings chapter 18. And I'm going to shred this up, but just follow me. The hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. But before it did, Elijah got down and he prayed. He said, Lord, I need a word from you. I need a word from you. No, like I really need a word from you, Lord. So he sent the servant, and the servant went out on a cliff. And he said, you're praying for rain, but I don't see any rain. He said, go back, check again. So he goes over there. Nope, still no rain. Go back again. Nope, not a cloud in the sky. Nothing. Just bright, sunshiny beach weather. No rain. Six times. Six handfuls of nothing. Do you see anything? Not a thing. See, this is the tarrying part. Because I haven't went back and revisited verse 3 that we read at the very beginning. But it talks about God's timing. See, some of you are in this season right now, this tarrying season. And if you'll remember what I said earlier, your vision that you think you have is either not good or it's not God's timing yet. Verse 3. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. See, he knew he was seeing what he heard, which is why he kept sending the servant back. He had received God's promise. And in those moments of tarrying, he never lost hope and he never lost faith. But he continued to send his servant to check for a cloud. See, when you see what he says, you'll run. You'll run. In 1 Kings 18, verse 46. 1 Kings 18, verse 46. And the hand of the Lord then was on Elijah. And he gathered up his garment, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Y'all, he outran a horse. He outran a horse because he had a vision. All he had was a cloud the size of his hand. But he said, I'm going to run to the city because I've heard from God and I'm running with the vision. Seven times he sent the servant. See, God wants us to take him at his word. It's one of my favorite songs right now. Cody Carnes, I'll take you at your word. My favorite songs. Will you take God at his word today? I don't know that a sermon has hit me this hard. I told Sarah, I'm always notorious. I don't get emotional in the moment. I always get emotional afterwards. But on the way to church this morning, I was fighting tears. Because this word right here is for you guys. It's for me. And it's right where I've been. It's right where I'm walking through right now. God just wants to know, will you take him at his word? That division that he has for you, that he has for your family, that he has for your children? Will you take him at his word? Because I'm telling you, he's faithful, y'all. You say, well, I don't feel like God has a vision for me. No, the problem is you haven't sought him for a vision. So that's where our altar call is going this morning. He's got a vision for everyone in this house. I don't care if you're old. I don't care if you're middle-aged. I don't care if you're the youngest person in here. He's got an earthly vision for you. He's got a heavenly vision for you. So that's where we are. I was in the car this week and I was paying some bills. And before I get to the altar call, there's a song I want you to write down. Worship songs minister to me. When it hit me, I was driving, I was overcome. I told my wife I got a good cry in when I got to the house. You see, the enemy wants to point out all your flaws and all your mistakes. I want you to write this song down. It's called He Knows Me Better. No, You Know Me Better by Stars Go Dim. It's an older song. But he says, you know me as honest. You know me as good. You know me the way that I wish I could. You know me perfect. You know me loved. You know me better. So before the altar call this morning, I just wanted to give you that ammunition that that's the way God sees you, as a conqueror, as a dreamer, as a dream chaser. So when the enemy comes up and he shows you all your flaws and he shows you your weaknesses, remind him of how God sees you. And I sent this to a brother last week, that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Do y'all believe it? So here it is. If you need a vision from God, I want you to stand to your feet. If you don't feel like you have a vision, you don't feel like you have a course, you need that roadmap, you need that atlas. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. Yeah, y'all. Y'all got Google now. If you need a vision, you need a vision. Everybody good right there? Need a vision. All right, second part of this. If God's given you a vision, but your present self, your present circumstances, your present resources, you feel like it's got you on pause because you're not focused on your future self, I want you to stand to your feet. You have a vision, but you feel like you're stuck right now. Yeah. Anybody else? I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to have Paul come and close us out in prayer this morning. God's got a vision for you. You got to walk out to that cliff seven times. You walk out to that cliff seven times. And when you see the sign, you run with the vision. Father, I lift up my family, my friends, this morning in your presence. God, they're reacting to your word, to your promises. Lord, that if they don't see the vision, that you're showing it to them right now. That as they're laying down the distractions and grabbing a hold of your word and your promises, Lord, that you're going to reveal a vision to them that they never saw. Lord, that they don't feel capable of. That's beyond what they would have hoped for. That the enemy's going to whisper that they're not worthy of. That's the vision that you have for us. More than we can ask or think. Are you capable of, God? So, Lord, I pray that you give them the vision. I already know you will because you want them to have it. because it's connected to every person in this house. The vision that you have is connected. It all connects and intertwines. And Father, for those that are standing that feel stuck, may 1 Kings encourage them, God. May the story of Elijah encourage them, that he never gave up hope. He never got stuck. And no matter how many times the servant came back and said, nope, no rain, not a cloud in sight, he continued to send him because he knew the vision that he had received when he prayed. And I thank you, God, that as they jump up out of the mud and they start walking again, Lord, that they're going to be encouraged in that no matter the pressure, no matter the circumstances, no matter the resources, no matter what the present self says, Father, that they're going to begin to walk forward and chase your vision. They're going to run with it, Lord. And your word says that we will not grow weary and we won't grow faint. So, Lord, I thank you for your word. That's encouraged me. I thank you, and I give you all the praise and all the glory. And God's people said, amen, amen.
Well, thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City, or just to stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, the best is yet to come.